You need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. We've got a lot to get to. I also wanted to give everyone this update that I believe broke. Yeah, we broke it yesterday. We talked about it yesterday on the show briefly. Anna Paulina Luna, who's a representative from Florida, filed a resolution in Congress on Wednesday calling for the removal of California's Adam Schiff, after the Durham report revealed that much of what Schiff said in Congress over the past few years about Donald Trump was based entirely on fabrications. This is from the Post-Millennial. He likes fabrications. Adam Schiff was also the one who, during the, was it the first impeachment? Yes, it was the first one. I get them confused because they were both so bogus and ridiculous that it's easy to mix them up. The first impeachment, Adam Schiff was the one who started doing this weird parody version of the phone call between Zelensky and Trump. And then when he was asked about it, like, why did you just start fabricating a phone call? He tried to explain it away, but really he was giving it like the Goodfellas treatment. He thought a parody of the phone call would be better than just using the actual transcript. That's because the actual transcript showed that nothing nefarious occurred. And in hindsight, when you think about how much we've learned about Joe Biden and his business dealings in Ukraine, that perfectly fine phone call was actually not only perfectly fine, it was extremely warranted. But this is what Adam Schiff does. He makes stuff up, and he told people over and over again on television, just you wait, just you wait. I've got something for you. Just teasing this non-existent bombshell news. He won't be held accountable. And I know you all know that, so I'm not going to pretend that he will be. But what happened here with the FBI, I think the Federalist has done a really great job of summarizing why this is so important. Because you're going to see people like Andrew Weissman and others saying that this is a big fat nothing. Nothing to see here. Nicole Wallace, other people saying this is a waste of 4 years. Joe Scarborough, this is a waste of 4 years of investigations. Yeah, because they're in a position to tell us about drawn out investigations and whether or not they were a waste of our taxpayer money. Right. But the reason I bring this up is because I thought that John Daniel Davidson did a really good job of explaining why this is so important. And Durham actually himself mentioned this in the report, because he basically was saying, like, we can't put more laws and rules and regulations in the FBI if no one's going to follow them. It almost reminds you of the gun control debate. Like, what good is it to have more regulations on the books if no one's going to actually abide by them, if people are just going to toss them out the window? And Margot Cleveland wrote a piece that I read to you yesterday where she said what should terrify the country is not the catalog of malfeasance the special counsel recited, but that Durham warned of corrupted hearts and minds unfaithful to the people and their constitution. So this piece is by John Daniel Davidson, who we've had on the show before. And I just want to read you a couple lines and then we're going to move on. We're going to talk reparations in California and all these other crazy stories. But there were a few lines of this that stuck out to me. John Adams issued a similar warning when he penned his famous line, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." It's easy to look at the Durham report and conclude that the problem is just with a handful of bad apples in the federal intelligence agencies. We've been saying that for so long. You know, we all almost wanted to believe that. Oh, it's just like the guys at the top. It's the James Comeys, you know, hiding behind the blue curtain. But it's not everybody. But at a certain point, you have to think, well, even if it's not everybody, it's enough people where it's hopeless, where it can't be fixed. But the rot goes much deeper than that. People like Comey and Brennan and the legions of corrupt agents and bureaucrats under them were produced by an American society that has lost its way, that has become unmoored from the morality that sustains our system of government and virtue in our citizenry. Unless we rediscover the moral virtue necessary for self-government, we will descend bit by bit into tyranny. What it says is this: we have produced and are still producing a totally corrupt elite, bereft of any sense of fidelity, bravery, and integrity, to say nothing of moral virtue or the common good. Put bluntly, an elite like that makes self-government in a republic of free citizens impossible. It also means that the elite will work to corrupt ordinary Americans, eroding their respect for the rule of law and fidelity to the Constitution. I don't think it can be overstated how unnerving it is that people like Peter Strzok and John Brennan knew they had nothing, but they wanted to run this to the ground because they wanted their person to win. And you know what I was thinking yesterday about Hillary Clinton? She is a loser's loser. Like, she is the champion of the losers. Because when you have the CIA, the FBI, the entire media, the entirety of Hollywood, the entire DNC, all breaking the law, bending over backwards, doing whatever they can to get you in there, and you still can't cross that finish line, woof, that is rough. That is a really bad showing. That is a very, very unelectable, unlikable candidate when you've got basically the entire world rooting for you and you still can't make it happen. And as I think it was John Daniel Davidson pointed this out, as bad as it was in 2016 with this Durham report, it didn't stop them, because in 2020, they all did the same thing with the Hunter Biden laptop. They all lied again and they knew they were lying. They all got together and they did it again. They had a little reboot, a little relaunch. And this is just par for the course now, I guess. If you're part of one of these agencies, if you're part of one of these protected classes, you can do whatever you want to try to make sure that your candidate, that your guy or your girl gets in there. And since we're talking about double standards, I should mention this. The National Archives is now saying that they'll hand the special counsel investigating Trump 16 records proving that he knew he was flouting declassification records, proving that he knew he was breaking the rules and he did it anyway. And my question for NARA, because NARA gets real, real loud when it comes to Donald Trump. They puff out their chests, you know, they get real bold, real brave when it comes to Orange Man. And then they get really quiet when it comes to the old guy with the Corvette in the garage. When it comes to the old man with the boxes above the steakhouse. Then I don't hear from NARA as much. National Archives. Then it's like the cat has got their tongue. So my question for NARA is, since now they want to get back into the political game, enough time's gone by, they got their Irish back up. My question for NARA is, have you reviewed the 9 boxes that you found in early November yet? The boxes that Biden or one of his lawyers had moved? Because last time I checked in on that, they had had the boxes for a few months and they just hadn't gotten around to it. So I don't know if maybe they're so busy trying to get Trump that they don't have time to lift open the lids of the 9 boxes from Joe Biden. But I would like to know a little bit about that. I would like an update on that, since you're giving us updates on the prosecution or the persecution of Donald J. Trump. 844-500-4242. When we come back, we are going to talk about reparations, and we are also going to talk about illegal immigration. One more thing, though, on the Biden family. I got to mention this. Joe Biden's plan is for re-election is to finish the job That's what they keep telling us. He's going to finish the job. And this is from Breitbart. President Joe Biden's reelection team for the 2024 contest will plead with American voters to let him finish the job. While casting extreme Republicans personified by President Donald Trump and his supporters of MAGA as threats to the very core of American political values. When I hear Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or any of these people telling me to let Joe finish the job, I just picture like the scene from The Shining where he sticks his head in the crack and he's got the axe. It's like, let me finish the job. I'm almost there. No, you've done enough. Haven't you done enough? Inflation is rampant. The border is overrun. Crime is out of control. The nation is divided. You are going to be the unifier in chief. The nation is divided. You have done enough. You do not need to finish the job, okay? You need to have a bowl of ice cream and you need to fade away out of politics and enjoy your retirement. But you do not need to finish the job. The job is going to be okay. The job needs somebody else to come in and try their hand at it because this is not working. But that's what Joe's running on. He wants to finish the job. And his administration, full of people like Kamala Harris and Pete Buttigieg and these very brilliant minds, they're all acting like, oh yeah, this is great. We just need a little bit more time to ruin the country further. And I want to talk about that because there was a piece by, it's this publication called Wired, and they wrote a piece about Pete Buttigieg, and you wouldn't believe it if you read it. I mean, it's so clownish. It's really like a parody, but of course, they don't mean it to be a parody. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about reparations, illegal immigration, all of this stuff, and we'll take your calls, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. The show that doesn't take itself too seriously.
I have a joke for you.
Okay.
The government in this town is excellent and uses your tax dollars efficiently.
It's the Grace Curley Show.
Not a joke.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by Calitren. Do what my producer Jared did. Lose weight in a healthy way with Calitren's high-quality collagen protein, specially formulated with digestive enzymes to help your body absorb the collagen protein to its fullest potential. Visit toploss.com, that's TOPLOSS.com, to learn more and start your weight loss journey today. Matt is on the board. Matt, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Who would you rather take an ethics class from? Hunter Biden, Rachel Rollins, or James Comey?
I'm going to say, because I think it would be a more entertaining class to sit through, I'm going to go with the first son, Hunter Biden.
I probably smoke more Parmesan cheese than anyone.
Hunter Biden is now leading with 39% of the vote, followed by Rachel Rollins at 34% and James Comey at 27%.
And we can talk more about Rachel Rollins and her ethical issues, her ethical quandaries, when we have Howie Carr on with us in just a little bit. But you know who we should have added to the list here? It's a little late, so I'm not going to do it now because the poll questions, you know, it's a tight race. But we have a late in the game nomination, and that would, of course, be non-binary ex-Biden nuclear official Sam Brinton. I don't know if you saw this. I might need the Grace's News dun-dun-dun because this is breaking. This is breaking news for the Grace Curley Show listeners. Non-binary ex-Biden nuclear official Sam Brinton arrested for being fugitive from justice. The former Biden administration nuclear official who was axed late last year after they were caught red-handed in a string of luggage thefts was arrested at his home at home this week. Samuel Brinton was taken into custody in Rockville, Maryland on Wednesday. Brinton was arrested on the 700 block of College Parkway as a fugitive from justice Records show the Brinton's husband is registered at an address on the parkway. Someone claiming to be a neighbor of Brinton. I love that. Someone claiming to be a neighbor. I guess it's always good to exercise some skepticism, but I feel like at that point, what are you lying for? You know, I'm claiming to be a neighbor of Sam Brinton. Told the Daily Wire on Thursday that four unmarked police showed up at their residence last night and escorted Brinton away in handcuffs an hour later. This story has just, it's taken so many wild turns, you know? You never know where this is going to end up. You steal one Vera Bradley bag, and then you steal one more piece of luggage, and then maybe, I think, was there a third case, or did we only get two cases? You steal a couple of pieces of luggage off carousels at airports, and then suddenly you wake up one day and you're a fugitive from justice. You're like Harrison Ford. I didn't kill my wife. I don't care. It's crazy how life just throws these curveballs. But we will keep you posted on this. I'm sure it's not the end of it. But he actually, you know, Sam Brinton was actually on my mind today because I was talking about TJ Ducklow and how he's the only person from this administration who resigned. And I don't remember if Brinton resigned when this story broke or if he was just let go or fired. I don't think he had the chance to offer up his resignation letter or their resignation letter in this scenario. Now, as we're talking about the Biden administration, because Brinton is part of the best and the brightest, as David Ignatius once described them, we should give you this little excerpt from the Wired article about Pete Buttigieg. I'll be real. There's parts of this I'm probably going to mispronounce, because this is how smart Pete Buttigieg is. I don't really get what they're talking about in this little piece, but they're trying to show us that Mayor Pete, you know, the guy who's in charge of the trains that all keep crashing
here at the office.
Yeah, the guy who's in charge of the planes that all keep getting grounded, that guy. He's very smart. He's smarter than me. He's smarter than you. That's all you need to know. It says, as Secretary Buttigieg and I talked in his underfurnished corner office, which he's in, by the way, Matt, thanks to that cut you just played. He's in the office.
Hey, it's Pete. I'm here at the office.
I'm here at the underfurnished corner office. As we talked in his underfurnished corner office one afternoon in early spring, I slowly became aware that his cabinet job requires only a modest portion of his cognitive powers. Other mental facilities, no kidding, are apportioned to the Iliad, Puritan historiography, and Nausgaard Spring, though not in the original Norwegian. Fortunately, he was willing to devote yet another apse in his cathedral mind to making his ideas about three mighty themes, neoliberalism, masculinity, and Christianity, intelligible to me. Again, if I mispronounce any of those words, it's just because I'm just a regular Joe, I guess. I'm not a Harvard man. I'm not as smart as Pete Buttigieg. But for someone with a cathedral mind, he certainly had a hard time dealing with the whole transportation secretary job. You would think this would be small, you know, a small task for such a brilliant man.
So I lost my train of thought.
I guess not. 844-500-4242. Woke or joke? When we come back, it's your chance to be entered to win a gift card to Aviva Trattoria. So get on the lines now. 844-500-4242.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I keep reading about all of the people at CNN. They're still reeling, by the way. They're still reeling from that town hall. And now, longtime CNN anchor, Christian Amanpour?
Go with Chris.
Chris Amanpour. She's saying that her colleague, Caitlin Collins, should have dropped the mic when former President Donald Trump called her a nasty person. Everyone's a critic, you know? Everyone's in the peanut gallery. And I just want to point something out to Chris Amanpour. Reminder, You can say what you want about Caitlin Collins, and you can say what you want about the town hall. It brought in 3.3 million viewers. And maybe I'm just a terrible person, but in TV, I feel like when a program brings in a lot of people and you get a lot of views, that counts for something.
And didn't Nasty Woman used to be like a bumper sticker, and it was a pride badge for the left?
Oh, yeah. Well, Howie opened, and Taylor has been off for a couple weeks, but Howie opened his show basically saying Trump just made her, because at the time when Caitlin Collins hosted the event, it was like the 3 days before CNN had announced she was going to get her own program, but it was in the works and there had been rumblings about it. And Howie started by saying, Donald Trump just guaranteed that she's going to get this job by calling her a nasty person.
Because, you're a nasty woman.
Yeah, it's like you couldn't ask. It's I'm going to make a star out of you right now on TV. But when I hear like Anderson Cooper and all of these...
She was terrible, though. She was a terrible... I watched during my break. That was the one piece of news that I was like, I'm going to get into this a little bit. And it was very entertaining because of Trump. But she was just awful.
She
wasted so much time.
She was awful no matter which side of the aisle you fall on.
Right.
She was like Bill de Blasio hosting. You know, every side didn't like it.
She tried setting up traps, but only caught herself.
Yeah. And I do find it amusing, though, that all of these anchors and all of these lowly rated hosts on CNN, they're still struggling with this town hall. It's like, if the worst thing that happens is that your network runs a program for 69 minutes that you don't like, you're doing okay.
Anderson Cooper should have just gone and gotten a martini at the Olive Garden.
Hey, that's always good advice. Taylor Cormier joins us now because it's time for Woke or Joke.
Everything woke turns to shit, okay?
I started a joke.
Pink-haired wokers.
The word woke means loser.
And the joke was on me. Oh, no.
Woke or Joke is brought to you by our favorite restaurant, Aviva Trattoria. A gift card to Aviva Trattoria is the perfect gift for any occasion. You can pick one up at any of their 6 locations. To find the one nearest you, go to AvivaTrattoria.com. And if you win today, stay on the line because you'll be entered to win a $50 gift card to Aviva Trattoria. All right, Taylor, you know how this works. Let's explain it to the audience. You're going to read a headline. They're going to have to decide, is it true, as in it's woke, or did one of these sick people in this office make it up? And that's how you win the game. It's woke or it's joke. So let's start with Scott. You're first up today. Are you ready for your headline, Scott?
Hello.
Hello. Okay, Scott, here's your headline.
All right, Scott. Pregnant in the metaverse. Why virtual pregnancy matters.
That's woke.
It is woke.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really? Do tell.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
Well, first, before you tell, is the metaverse for all of us who are kind of not into the tech stuff, is that when you put on the goggles?
I think so, yeah. It's the Facebook version. It's their virtual reality.
Okay.
But it's kind of used as a catch-all for any virtual reality thing that you are a part of. But yeah, it's... You put on goggles, I guess. Whatever. I'm not a loser. So, not in that way, anyway.
That's going to be clipped. Yeah. That's going to be clipped for hate mail. Guaranteed. I'm not a loser. You're going to regret that.
So, this woman, I guess, is just crying in this 8-page dissertation.
What?
About how there's a lack of representation for pregnant women. Virtual characters. And
first of all, pregnant people. It's woke or joke. Say it right.
Pregnant persons.
She spent 8 pages?
8 pages.
Was this a scenario like in school where you would make the font bigger to try to make it into 8 pages?
Wait a second. Hold on.
Is this
8? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Double-sided. So, yeah, about
the paragraphs.
9, 10 pages here. 9 pages.
That's about 9 pages too much on this subject. Too many.
Yeah. Yeah. So just decrying that there's no representation for pregnant people.
Well, you know why there's probably not is because when you're a pregnant person, it means you're having another human being who's going to pollute this planet and harm the Earth. So she should really be excited about it.
Is virtual abortion legal?
See, this is where you lose me. I have no idea. I'm
just wondering. These are the questions we have to ask.
Michael, you're next up on Woker Joker.
Can you delete the binary code?
Are you ready for your headline, Michael?
I am ready. Congratulations, Taylor.
Thank you very much, Michael. And here is your headline, and I have to do this one in character here, so here we go. Weddings in space! Couples rush to be first, but it's not cheap.
I'd say that's woke.
That is woke.
Weddings are hard enough when they're on this planet. You know, I think that even, and maybe people disagree, well, there's pros and cons if you have a wedding that's a destination wedding, because usually it thins out the herd a little bit where people don't really want to come because they don't want to spend the time or the money. But even planning a wedding that's in a different state or a different country, that's hard. Planning a wedding in space, I can't imagine what that entails.
So this takes you and your guests up in a space balloon, and you get just to the edges of Earth's atmosphere. So I don't think you're technically in space. You're still within the atmosphere of the planet Earth and the gravitational pull. But you can join the wait list on Space Perspectives' website for late 2024. And any guesses as to what it costs just to be a guest at the wedding, just for a seat?
$300,000.
You're actually about twice over, $125,000.
To be a guest.
To be a guest.
Oh, my gosh. You couldn't pay me. You couldn't pay me to attend. No.
Have you ever been like a hot air balloon?
Mm-mm.
Skydiving?
Mm-mm.
Nothing?
No interest. No? I like my feet firmly planted on the ground.
Yeah. Okay.
And I have to imagine your ears hurt when you're that close to everything.
Well, it's pressurized, right?
Yeah, but still, when they land the plane, I'm always like, ugh, my head.
Land the plane? Oh, like you're talking skydiving?
No. I'm talking about when you take off on a plane or when you land, your ears pop.
Yeah.
So you're going to get some of that if you're up in a balloon near the Earth's, whatever it's called.
Okay.
The Earth's edge or whatever.
Is that your primary concern? My ears are going to hurt in this space balloon?
If I'm getting married, I don't want my ears hurting. You know? I want wedding bells ringing, not my ears ringing.
Let's put it this way. It's pretty hard for the groom to get cold feet if he's already in the balloon.
That's true. That is true. You've trapped him at that point. Ed, you're up next on The Grace Curley Show. Are you ready for your headline, Ed?
Yes.
All right, Ed. Here is your headline. Seekonk Speedway planning drag queen drag races throughout the summer season.
I'm going to play the odds here and say that's a joke.
You got it. It is a joke.
Very good.
By the way,
Ed,
that was a joke. That's not true.
All right, let's go to Pat. You're next up on Woker Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Pat?
Yes, I am.
All right, Pat. Here is your headline. Fashion brand unleashes a clothing and accessory line for hamsters.
It's got to be a joke.
It is not a joke.
I don't like how you said that, Pat. It has to be
a joke.
Have some respect for the hamsters.
Yeah, the hamsters are people, too.
Did you ever have a hamster?
No.
Oh, I had multiple.
Icky.
Not at the same time, but...
Smelly, foul vermin.
You know what, though? I would get the hamsters, and I was afraid to touch them.
Yeah.
I was afraid to pick...
That tracks for you.
I was afraid to pick them up. So I would just look at the glass and kind of tap and go, oh, hello.
My cousins, they had rats. They were very friendly, smart rats, but the tail. Ugh.
Hamsters would, if you catch a hamster on a bad day and they give you a little, it hurts.
You grab them the wrong way, they'll give you a nip.
And they're wily. They just like, ooh, they wiggle right out.
They don't do anything except get lost and make smells.
Yeah, I had a cousin who lost one in the house and it was lost for a very, very, very long time.
And then it makes really bad smells.
Yeah. Paul, you're up next on Woker Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Paul?
I'm with you guys. All set to go.
Okay, here we go.
All right, Paul. Good afternoon. Here is your headline. Archie Comics turning character transgender to make series a little bit more queer.
Oh, that's definitely real. That's definitely real.
It is true. It's woke.
Very good, Paul.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
And I know you're not a loser, so you might not know this
yeah.
answer, but
no.
What is Archie? What is Archie Comics? Is that
Archie and Jughead?
Okay. So that's Riverdale.
See, I wouldn't have known that.
That show. I think those are the characters from that show, Riverdale.
Oh, did they turn it into like a Dawson's Creek
yes,
kind of thing?
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
You know who?
But it was initially a comic.
You know who would be bummed out that he's not here today is Jared, because I'm sure he knows this comic.
I don't think this is his line of comics.
Yeah, there's no superpowers involved.
Well, now there are, because you can transform from a woman to a man.
True. Very true. All right. Do we have one more left?
Yes.
All right. Let's go to Tony. You're last up on Woker Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Tony?
I'm ready.
All right, Tony. Here is your headline. Pet parents bark back to study on the average dog's carbon footprint.
Woke.
That is a joke, sir.
By the way, that was a joke. That's not true.
That is a good... That probably will become a headline
yeah,
soon,
I'm
though.
Sure, if it's not already. But this was made up within these walls.
Because if you are a pet owner, and you've got cats or dogs or chickens or whatever it might be, you are contributing more to global warming, probably.
I don't think so. I've actually decreased my carbon footprint.
With the chickens?
With the chickens. I'm not going to the store for eggs anymore. I'm not contributing to Big Egg.
I'm self-sufficient. Don't get me started on Big Egg.
And the chicken's coop is solar powered.
Now, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Because a while back when Matt was filling in for Jared, I asked him, how do you like your eggs? And in the most psychotic answer that I've ever received on the air, Matt responded, it doesn't matter to me. I just... It doesn't make a difference. And I was like, okay, that's
yeah,
insane.
That's wild.
He actually says he goes eggs to restaurants eggs. And he says,
you know he
surprise me.
You know what he told me yesterday?
What?
He's never had seafood.
Yeah, no, he told me that too. This clearly
yesterday was my first day having seafood ever.
Sure, Jan. Yeah, we believe you. But our question here, Taylor, is as someone who now has eggs and you have an abundance of them.
I don't have them yet.
Well, you will. Yeah. Someday you will have more eggs than you know what to do with.
How do I like my eggs?
Yeah.
It varies day to day. Some days I'm in the mood for scrambled eggs. And if I'm not scrambling, I do kind of an over easy, over medium.
Do you ever go through a period where you just can't look at an egg?
No.
See, that's a
eggs
me thing.
Are always a part of my breakfast.
That's a me thing. And I feel like some people out there will get it. Like you go through an egg phase and then all of a sudden one day you look at eggs and you think, oh, I couldn't eat that if you paid me. And then you go back to it eventually. Same with bananas.
Do you put anything on your scrambled eggs?
Not really on my scrambled eggs. I might put a piece of American cheese on it if I'm feeling
cheese. I
crazy.
Do ketchup once in a while.
Yeah, a lot of people like ketchup. That is true.
I don't like ketchup. I like it on my eggs, though.
Okay, I think we've exhausted
we
this. We will be back. We've got more food news for you, so don't go anywhere. And then later in the show, we are going to talk about reparations, because Cori Bush is getting on board with the reparations argument, and she's asking for $14 trillion in reparations. Hakeem Jeffries was asked to comment on it, and I did not get the enthusiasm that I would have expected from a Democrat in a position of power on this subject, and it's reminding me, actually, of Gavin Newsom's response to this. We'll talk more about that in the 2 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
I tried to be really fair with this Grace is Goodies. And what I mean by that is I didn't really tease it too much. I didn't tell people it was active on the website because I wanted everyone to get their fair chance at getting their hands on a gift card to Moby Dick's restaurant in Wellfleet. I just went on the website, and before we came back from the break, people were already purchasing these. So they are going to go really fast. Here's your fair warning that it is time for a Grace's Goodies.
So you're looking for a deal, and you want to make it real.
A money-saving deal.
It's Grace's Goodies.
Goody, goody.
Act now. Get to gracecurlyshow.com and click on store to get a $50 gift card. You're getting it for just $25 to Moby Dick's restaurant in Wellfleet, Mass. Joining us now is Todd Berry. Todd, thank you so much for coming on the show with us. And also thank you for the amazing spread yesterday. Tell people what you brought into the studio for Howie, for myself, and for the whole crew here.
Hi, Grace. Well, we, Rob and I came up and we brought New England clam chowder, lobster rolls, and key lime pie. And then we had a special surprise for Howie. He loves fried oysters, so we brought up a small fryer and made some for him. And when I got there yesterday and I told him, he was pretty happy.
They were unbelievable, Todd.
Yeah, no, really good. And it was a good spread. The VIPs enjoyed it, and I think so did the staff at the Howie Carr Radio Network in Needham. So it was a really fun day.
It really was. And Todd, I just want people to know that I've been to this restaurant before a couple times, and it's just a really fun spot, especially in the summer. Everything there is so fresh. You're not going to get better seafood on Cape Cod than at Moby Dick's. It's great for families. It's great for large parties. You want to go to Moby Dick's restaurant in Wellfleet. And this is a great time to try it out because you're getting a $50 gift card. You're paying just $25, but you're getting the value of a $50 gift card. And Todd, you know, you just mentioned the lobster roll, the fried oysters. They were all, I mean, mouthwateringly good. What else are people loving on the menu?
Oh, Chatham Steamers come in every day from Monomoy. Absolutely amazing. All right. Scallops are local. Mussels are local. And most of our seafood is delivered 7 days a week. Even though we're a New England clam shack, we've built our business. Quality is number one. We don't cut any corners at all. So we buy the best and make it a fun place to be. So we're here. We just opened on May 5th, and we're open 7 days a week, and getting ready for Memorial Day. Hard to believe Memorial Day weekend is a week from tomorrow.
It's everything's flying by already, and if you want to check out Moby Dick's, they have an incredible crew there, an incredible staff, and the food, like Todd said, you're not going to get anything fresher, you're not going to get anything more delicious than at Moby Dick's. You can trust me on that. I've had so many of their dishes, and they're all phenomenal. We actually had someone here who works here from Philly, who this was her first real lobster roll, and I said, you're setting your bar really high from here on out. Go to gracecurlyshow.com and click on store to get a Grace's Goodies. Thank you, Todd.